Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome to the Following On podcast. We're back. I'm John Norman. Steve Harmison is alongside me. We're going to be looking back at all the action here at Lord's. It's such a picture. Beautiful conditions here. They could still be playing now, actually, and England would still be making hay. It's been a one-sided day. We're going to be looking back at all of it here on Following On. Okay, so if you're listening to the show by now, then you no doubt know that Ireland were asked to bat first. It's not what they would have wanted. It was dank, it was cloudy, it was cold, it was windy. And essentially, they wanted to have a bowl, but they didn't. They had a bat, and we thought they might be bowled out for less than 26 at one stage. 19 for four when Paul Sterling was given out leg before wicket first ball. Thankfully, for all of those that made the journey here, a journey that was not made any easier by the striking train drivers, but power to the people and all that. Sterling overturned that on-field call, which would have meant Stuart Broad was on another hat-trick. He had picked up two wickets and three balls, though. And alongside McCollum, the two put on, 45 for the fourth wicket. Riches indeed. Four wickets, though, falling before lunch. Three falling after it. And the Ireland innings wrapped up shortly after tea. Bowled out for 172 with Stuart Broad on the honours ball, 5 for 51. England then came out to bat in beautiful sunny conditions. And Zach Crawley had a little bit of luck along the way. He was the only man out for 56. He French cut past his own stumps three times for four. And alongside Ben Duckett, the two putting on 109 for the first wicket. Duckett unbeaten at stumps on 60. Ollie Pope unbeaten at stumps on 29. I joked on Talk Sport when England came out to bat, they'd look to be up where Ireland were. Well, they came within 20. 152 for one at stumps after just 25 overs. But we're not surprised by such things anymore. Anyway, plenty to discuss here on the Following On podcast with myself, John Norman, and Steve Harmison.
Story of the day.
Okay, Harmy. Well, I struggled to think of a more dominating day. From England, anyway, on the occasion of the first day of the first test of an English summer than what we've had today. But we kind of expected it, didn't we? Such is England's rich form and the fact that, let's be honest, Ireland just do not play this form of the game nearly enough to, I'm not going to say warrant a test at Lord's because that isn't what I believe, but essentially they're being set up to fail. If you don't play four-day cricket, how are you supposed to play five-day cricket at Lord's against England?
Yeah, it's weird. I've said on breakfast this morning, it's great for cricket in this region that Ireland play test match cricket. And because of that, you're wanting to be a better contest. Ireland have got, they've got one eye on Harare. You know, we can't get away from that. The 50-over World Cup they're going for. That's why Josh Little's not playing. They're my best bowler. And you look at what's been dished up today, and there'll be people out there, and I think they would have a point if they said, why on earth are we playing Ireland? But I think there's a bigger picture here, and I think the bigger picture for the game. You can understand why England haven't played their full bowling attack, because they need to keep them for Australia. I don't think England had to work too hard. I think England have carried on where they've left off in the last 12 months. I don't think they were put under any pressure with the ball. It was a great toss for Ben Stokes to win, England captain, win the toss. No hesitation to bowl first. I thought England bowled fantastically well. Stuart Broad, well, if they were looking to potentially leave him out for the first Ashes test, and you know, other experts, and like myself, have said, I think it's going to be Anderson, Robinson and Wood for the first test match. There was never going to be any surprise that Stuart was going to get 5 wickets and he's going to get any honours board, because that's what Stuart does. So because of that, look, it's been one of them days where it was always going to be England dominant, and Ireland did look a sort of different class, you know, from the lower rungs of international cricket. But there was a huge amount of positives for me from England in that front. You still got to score the runs. You still got to put the bad ball away. You still got to put the ball consistently in the right area and ask questions. And I look at someone like Matt Potts, who got 2 wickets in his first spell. He didn't get a wicket, but he bowled beautifully against better players. He probably would have gotten a lot more joy. And I'm sure we'll come on to Josh Tung in a minute about his debut, but he will bowl worse and he will play more test matches. No doubt whatsoever. He will bowl worse in his test career and will get 3 or 4 wickets. So he was unlucky not to get, you know, any wickets or to get his first test wicket at all. So I think all in all, it's a day we expected. It's a day England didn't work hard. And it's a day that probably will make sure that this test match could possibly finish in 2 days.
Well, when Ireland were 19 for 4, it did look like it might finish in 2 days. And I just wonder, Paul Sterling overturned that leg before decision. I just wonder whether in choosing to operate Josh Tung in the way that Ben Stokes did, that gave us every indication about why he's playing. Yeah. You know, it was way too early in the match and England were way too dominant and there was far too much going on out there for short pitch bowling to be the order of the day, you know, but short pitch bowling is what we got in the first session and he didn't take a wicket. But then I'm not sure that Ben Stokes was really intending him to take a wicket. I mean, obviously he could have taken a wicket, but essentially he just wanted to see how fast and how hostile and whether Tom could bowl to order. That's how I kind of saw it. And it kind of made his selection over Chris Wokes immediately make sense.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think because of the way England have played over the course of the last 12 months, it seems that when they pick side, it's not ear side that fits all. This is how we've identified how we are going to make this game go our way over the course of 5 days. And because of that, whether it's an experienced batsman in the middle order, an explosive batsman at the top of the order, Johnny Bairstow coming in to take the gloves because we need more firepower down below, a bouncer bowler because we feel as though the opposition come vulnerable under the short ball. These players get picked for like horses for courses selection to fit a role in a specific role in a team that England need at this minute in time. And I think because of that, I think that's why it was a no-brainer. The more and more I thought about it, too, in the Cricket Collective and the County Cricketer this week, Josh Tung had to play. There was no question he had to play whatsoever because we had to see what he's got. And I think there are going to be times when either Mark Wood needs a rest or potentially England are behind in the series, that England might have to go with 2 out-and-out quicks, a skiddy one and a bouncy one against Australia. And somewhere like Old Trafford fits the bill. And Ben needed to see what he's got. And I think it was Med mentioned on commentary that Ben Stokes will not have seen a great deal of Josh Tung. Not many people had seen a great deal of Josh Tung. So because of that, we needed to see him. And I think now the wider public are very impressed with what we've got. We've got somebody who can bowl not as quick as Mark or Jofra, but in that Ollie Stone bracket pace-wise, Brydon Carr's bracket pace-wise, just a level above Matt Potts, but he's got aggression. He bowls from a tall release point. He hits the pitch hard. And that's something we haven't had for a while. So just for me, it was so pleasing to see a bowler who is different to everybody else, who could do a different job than everybody else, And it was a tick in the box going forward for me, for the England selectors as well. So good on him.
One of the big differences between Ben Stokes and Joe Root, and there have been quite a few big differences, is the way he's used Jack Leach. And I thought, again, today you saw the Ben Stokes effect. Jack Leach was bowling inside the first hour. You know, that very rarely happens. And not only was he bowling inside the first hour, he was bowling, you know, inside a first hour where seam had dominated and wickets had been tumbling, you know. And essentially, again, it seemed to me that Stokes knows that Jack Leach is going to have to come on and bowl against batters that want to dominate him. We've seen that happen in Australia against the same bowler. We know what the Australians are like. And essentially, whilst it's difficult to compare the Irish middle order with the Australians' top or middle order, he set aggressive fields. He left a lot of space on the leg side and essentially was tempting the batters to sweep. And Jack Leach took two wickets. And Paul Sterling is a good batter. And so is Lorcan Tucker. So, you know, these aren't, you know, it's not completely silly to suggest as much. But again, it just seemed to me that Ben Stokes wanted to see how Jack Leach was going to operate in a manner that you expect he's going to have to operate come the Ashes.
Yeah, and again, it's something that we've said so many times about the captaincy of Ben Stokes. I thought he had a really good day today, not because he won the toss. I thought his bowling changes were excellent. I thought some of his field positions were spot on, angles as well, you know, and the catching, you know, that's not Ben Stokes, but he had the catches in the right place and they took the catches, you know, very, very well. And again, when you look at Leach, you say how Ben looks after Jack compared to what Joe did. But all Joe was doing was what everybody else was doing the time before him. This is the cricket way. Nobody realised that cricket could be played in this way until Ben Stokes decided that he was going to completely rip up the captaincy manual, the coaching manual, the game strategy manual and go, right, we're going to do it this way, which nobody's even thought about doing ever. And he's another tick in the box in that sort of positivity direction because of how he's used Jack Leach, the field settings that he's had. It's not just the field settings that he's got. It's the fielders in position, which the faster fielders are out on the boundary to cut angles off to make sure that they're always constantly under pressure. It's not a case of a man's on the boundary on one side and he just comes up and he comes in because the other left and right in combination. He does the journey. We've seen John in New Zealand. You know, when Jack Leach was on the field, he was in the sort of worst fielder that England had. He was in the place where the worst fielder should be. And he ran miles, absolute miles, did Jack. And that's just an example of Ben when it comes to setting fields. He has the right people and the right places on the right angles for the right type of bowling that's on show. And I think largely down to the fact that that helps the bowler feel confident of letting go of the ball in an area he wants to let it go in. And the biggest beneficiary from this whole new regime change is Jack Leach.
Let's talk a bit about Johnny Bairstow. I was asked a question on TalkSport by Paul Hawksby about how he was lining up today. And, you know, that's a big decision that's been made. And, you know, I replied that it's we're going to find out, essentially. It's impossible to really make a call on one session. Took a couple of catches. One, the easiest catch you're ever going to take, which was when Sterling was out, caught behind on the sweep, ball just looped up. He took another regulation catch. There was one minor moment, I suppose. I'm not sure if you saw it, but it was an edge from, it was an outside edge. Essentially, the ball, it wasn't a catchable height. It just dropped and it bisected Root at first slip and Bairstow at wicket. And basically, Bairstow would shake to go to his left. The ball took the outside edge and deflected off Joe Root's hand and away for four. It did go quite close to Root. But apart from that, I mean, it's difficult really to make any kind of comment on Bairstow in terms of keeping the gloves. But I suppose it's one that we're just going to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's always going to be kept an eye on because it was such a delicate subject. It was such a tough decision. And there's a lot of camp spokes and a lot of camp Bairstow. The right decision's been made for me. And I've been consistent with my messaging for 2 years. He's not as good a keeper as Ben Folks. He never will be. But when Johnny Bairstow walks out at number seven against tired bowlers and gets 70 off 50 balls or 100 off 100 balls and takes the game away from the opposition, then Ben Folkes can't do that. And I think that, for me, far outweighs the selection that was Bairstow over Folkes. Folkes has done nothing wrong. Arguably the unluckiest cricketer in England because of the decisions that's been made. But unfortunately, we live in a professional world. We make professional decisions. We make tough decisions. And Ben and Brendan have not shied away from making a tough decision. And I think the right decision was made. Listening to McCullum at lunchtime on TV today, it was a brilliant interview. Fantastic interview and the reasons why. And he's saying Ben Folkes will come again and come back to what I said about 5 minutes ago, talking about having people for specific roles in the team for specific test matches against opposition surfaces. Ben Folkes will play for England again. He'll go to the subcontinent. He'll be keeper in India. I'm sure he will. And one of the batters possibly will miss out, and Johnny will bat that little bit higher to get an all-rounder in the team. So I think that's why this team is so good, so flexible. And they're not looking at one team fits all. It's a team that is best suited to win a specific test match, a specific test series. And at the minute, the England cricket team need a number seven who can score, you know, hundreds, and Johnny can do that. And that's why little misdemeanors with the gloves, as long as they're not costing ridiculous amounts of runs, as in dropping catches, then I think the odd buy here or there will be tolerated because of what Bairstow brings and the aura he brings when he bats and he comes to the crease.
It was a tough day for Ireland. You know, they batted in the worst of the conditions and they bowled in the worst of the conditions. You know, Paul Sterling, McCullum, and also Curtis Camphor all reached 30. There were starts in and amongst it. Harry Tector will probably be the most disappointed, alongside the captain, Andy Balbirnie, in the manner of their dismissals. But from a bowling perspective, you know, when you look through the four, you know, is there anything that Ireland can take from today?
Not really. I thought McCullum stood up at the top of the order when he bat over 90 balls. He played and missed. I thought England bowled beautifully in that first session. I really did. They could have bowled Ireland out in the first session. I thought Potts bowled fantastically well. If anything, if I want to be really, I mean, really being picky here for Matthew, possibly a touch wide, but against good players, if he plays in the Ashes and he bowls a bit straighter to the likes of Smith, Labuschagne, and Head, he'll get hit. He'll concede runs. So that was the only thing I could think of, because he was playing against batters who are not quite as good, who are going to play and miss a hell of a lot, because you put the ball and you move the ball laterally in good areas, you potentially have to come a little bit straighter. But if I said that to him, it would be said in a way which is not anything negative, because I thought he bowled very, very well. And I thought Josh Tung bowled very, very well. And, you know, Brendan McCullum keeps saying, the captain writes his own scripts. The captain writes his own scripts. The favourite saying of McCullum about Stokes. Well, one person that does write his own scripts, and it seems to come when people are writing them off, and that's Stuart Broad, because his opening spell was excellent. It was exactly what you want. If I'm being ultra critical of Potts and saying he could have bowled a touch wider, you know, against good players, top players, Broad will bowl the lines and lengths Potts bowled. And against players who are not as good, Stuart bowled that little bit straighter, that little bit fuller, and said, right, if you want to drive me, if you want to come at me, come at me. But if your technique's not good enough on a sloping Lord's ground where you fall over one bit or you lean back at the other end, he mastered the conditions perfectly. And yeah, that's why he's a champion.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, Harmy, it's very difficult to see any other way that this match is going to pan out other than England batting for at least two sessions and then putting Ireland in and rolling them over at some points late on day two or at the start of day three. I mean, maybe they'll bat on a little longer than I'm suggesting, but they're already pretty much there. By the time they're 300 ahead, which will probably be T, there's no real reason to continue batting. You'd think. Can you put forward? Well, I'm not even asking you to put forward an argument to counter that. Is that how you see it going?
Yeah, I think England will have won. I think barring Root and Brook or Root and Hope going and getting double hundreds, I think England will want to bat their top seven in the middle. And the minute Johnny's out or the minute Ben's out, they'll walk off and put Ireland back in. That's if they go to the level that you're talking to. So even they might bat the whole deer. They might bat the whole deer because, you know, Root's got 100, Brook's got 100. You know, Stokes and Bairstow haven't had a bat. They haven't played a lot of cricket when it comes to it. So I envisage all the top seven getting a good chance to have a hit in the middle at Lord's. And the minute, you know, Stokes comes in with the bowlers or Bairstow is out when he's in with the bowlers, then I think they'll declare and say to the England bowlers, right, have another go. And hopefully Josh Tung can get on the board his first test wicket and be rewarded for what was, I thought, a fantastic debut. I think this kid's got huge future. We've said that for a few years now. And we all know his story. And hopefully, we've seen him this morning, Jimmy Anderson giving him his cap, you know, standing aside the field with his partner and his little one, proud dad. And I thought he did himself very, very proud. Now I was really, really pleased for the boy today. Fingers crossed he gets some wickets in the second innings, and that would cap off for me not only the perfect performance, perfect selection, but a positive way to go into what would be a big six and a half weeks for the Ashes.
Do you think that we might see a batter retired out tomorrow?
No. I think if they did, I think it would be the first time I really go hard against this current regime if that happened. That would be going too far. That would go too far. I really would. If somebody walked off 100 not out, I think that's pushing the boundaries to disrespect the game. No problem in warm-up games, none whatsoever. But when you're playing a test match, this is a test match. You know, so whatever, if you don't think the level of opposition is good enough, if you don't think X, Y, and Z, no. You if a player wants to get out, he chips one up in the air and he walks off. If somebody retires himself out tomorrow, I think that would cause a lot of problems for the England cricket team. And do you know what? I don't even think it would even contemplate Ben Stokes. I think he's got too much respect for the game to have anybody retire out. So I think the game's going to be played properly, fairly. And if somebody goes and gets 250, so be it. We'll be here for 4 days.
Brilliant stuff. Harmy, we'll be back after day two and hopefully day three as well. I think that's what we need. We want to see a little bit of cricket here at Lord's. It was a decent crowd today in the end. More train strikes tomorrow, so we'll see what happens on Friday. But for now, thanks for listening. to us here on the Following On podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to Amazon.com/sports ad free. That's Amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.